So I wonder if I could just start this morning with a question. Who is Jesus?
Just think for a moment. If you were asked that, what would your response be? Who is Jesus? It's not necessarily a simple or straightforward question, is it? I guess it depends what angle we come at. But it's a good question to ask. It's an important question to ponder. It's a question that has generated differing thoughts and opinions down through the ages. That question has resulted in a million upon million upon million words being written about this person, Jesus. In 2003, Time magazine called Jesus the most influential man in history. That's quite an achievement. From an historical perspective, some have understood Jesus to be an authoritative Jewish teacher. Some would view him as a prophet. Still others would say, well, there was a man crucified called Jesus round about AD 30 by the Roman authorities. His death is one of the most documented events in ancient history after all. Other religions have a view on that question, who is Jesus? Islam would say he's a prophet, he's a miracle worker, he was even born of the Virgin Mary. But he wasn't divine, he wasn't God. Within Judaism, he is generally viewed as an historical figure, but he wasn't the Messiah. Others within Hinduism, others within Buddhism would see that Jesus as a wise teacher, or maybe even the enlightened one. Culturally and philosophically, he is held up, isn't he, as a good moral teacher, espousing love, forgiveness, justice. Others would say he's a revolutionary. He challenged the norms of his day. And still others would interpret him as a spiritual guide, a mystic, someone connected deeply into the divine. And from our perspective, the Christian perspective, we also understand Jesus in different ways. He's the central, we have the central belief that he is the Son of God in our faith. Fully divine, fully human. He's known as the Saviour of the world. Through his death, his resurrection, he reconciles humanity back to God. He's the Messiah, or the Christ, the promised deliverer foretold in the Hebrew scriptures. He is the Lord, the one that we have been worshipping this morning. He's the one that reigns over all creation. We could go on and on and on and on and on. Who is Jesus? It's an important question. It's a big question for us today. It's a big question because it has serious consequences, depending what our answer is. It was also a big question for Jesus in his day. Remember that moment when he asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, who often got it wrong, gets it right. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." A good answer. The right answer. Not only was it a question, a big question for Jesus, it was a significant question for the early church as it established itself. Why? Because the church was founded on the claims that Jesus made. It was founded on the claims that Jesus made about himself, on who he was. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1, where Paul makes one of the greatest declarations, I think, in the New Testament. It offers a profound summary of who Christ is and what he has accomplished. Arnie, would you come and read to us? We're going to read from verse 9 all the way through to verse 23. We're only going to focus on a few of those verses, but in the original language, it's one sentence. Okay, so it's a whopping long sentence, so it feels only Arnie's going to read it for us in the Greek as well. So, Arnie, please.
Okay. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from hope held in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen.
Thank you. The details are not specific, but it appears that the Colossian church has experienced numerous attacks from false teachers. Not an uncommon experience at all for the church as it was establishing itself. And Paul, our writer, has a deep connection to this church in Colossae. It was a church that was started by one of his co-workers, Epaphras, who was a native of the city, whom Paul had actually led to Christ. And when Paul hears of the difficulties that this church is experiencing, he writes to clarify some of the theological issues and to offer encouragement to the church to keep going. Stay rooted in Christ. Don't get distracted. Don't get drawn away from that first love. I want to spend some time reflecting on verses 15 to 20 this morning. But as I say, we're going to read, or we have read from verse 9, because it is one sentence and it puts it all in context. But verses 15 to 20, I believe, are the heart of this letter. And everything, and I do mean everything, then flows from that. Paul is an interesting writer. There are moments, typically in modern writing, you get the sort of the climax, the da-da moment at the end of the book. Okay, Paul does something interesting. Sometimes he does the da-da moment at the beginning of the book. Sometimes he does it at the end, like in 1 Corinthians. Here, he does it in the first chapter. He does the reason, and everything flows from that. And as Paul formulates his words, as he puts quill to pen, he writes, I think, one of the most powerful Christ-centered passages that we have in the whole of the New Testament. These are powerful words. He presents a majestic portrait of Jesus, highlighting something of his divine identity, his cosmic authority, and his reconciling work. Who is Jesus? Paul would go, here, this is my answer. This is the Jesus that I worship. And as we explore verses 15 to 20 in a bit more detail, I think the passage can be easily divided into two parts. First, verses 15 to 17 are about Christ and the creation of all things. And then the second half, 18 to 20, are about Jesus' reconciliation of that creation. Paul declares, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This is something that the Jews would not have struggled with. They'd be sat as they hear these words being read, nodding their heads. Yes, we've read Genesis. We know Genesis 1 to 3. We know that God created everything. But it wouldn't have been a universally held belief in the pagan culture of Colossae. The thought that the Creator stepped down into his creation would have been ridiculous for some. But this is what Paul simply and emphatically declares. God is invisible, but paradoxically, the Son, the image of the invisible God, makes God visible. This is my first visit here. I don't know most of you. If you wanted to know what I looked like before I arrived here this Sunday, you could have Googled me, and you probably would have found a photo of me, probably on the EMBA Facebook page or web page. You would have seen an image of me. And then when I arrive here, you would know, oh, it's Nick. The photo is an image of me. And in the same way, Jesus is an image, the image of God. I had an interesting experience. As I say, my son Matt went off to university beginning of September. He's at the University of Leicester doing archaeology. And there's a student campus in Odeby, which is just south of Leicestershire. And I said to Matt, I said, feel free, you know, go to whatever church you like. Don't feel you've got to go to the Baptist church. Go to a church where you feel at home, where you feel you can grow. And he said, I'll try Odeby Baptist. So I said, okay, that's great. Odeby is one of my churches that I've worked with for 7 years or so. I mentored their previous minister, so I've known them for quite a while. And I said, well, I won't drop you in it. You know, don't feel you have to say that I'm your dad or anything like that. Just go and be you. But I bet you'll get offered lunch if you go. Because I knew the church. And I thought, yeah, there's good people there. They will offer their students lunch. And so we were tracking him because we have this family, find our family sort of thing. And we saw him get up. We thought, that's good. That's good. That's a start, you know. And we saw him walking towards the church. We thought, great as well. And we then saw him placed in church. And I checked in the afternoon and he was somewhere else in Odeby. I thought, he's been invited out to lunch, hasn't he? Yeah, okay. So that happened. And what happened, so that was the Sunday. The following Saturday, I was due to be at the church doing a vision day for them. And I said to Matt, I said, I won't say that you were here last week. You know, I will let you be, you know, who you are. And he said, well, to be honest, Dad, a couple of people know. So, oh, right, okay, how do they know? He said, well, the person that I went back to lunch with, Bill and his wife, they were saying over lunch, oh, I really do hope this Nick Ashton next week doesn't go on too long. It It was the Women's Rugby World Cup final. And so I really hope, you know, it doesn't go on beyond the 3 o'clock because I want to get back and watch the, you know, the 4 o'clock kickoff. And Matt, bless him, he said, he's actually my dad. And he won't go on beyond 3 o'clock because he wants to get back and watch the rugby as well. So anyway, at the Saturday, I'm stood there and a couple of people came up. And they just came up and they just sort of stared at me and then nudged each other. I said, what's the matter? I said, we can see the likeness now. We can see the light. We could clearly see that Matt looks like you. Handsome young lad, I know. But it's that image, isn't it? That image. Jesus is the image of the living God, makes God visible. But he is not just like God. He is God. He's not acting like an ambassador of a foreign country representing kingdom affairs here on earth. He is God. Fully God, fully human. This is where the Creator God stepped down into his creation. We call it the incarnation, don't we? We celebrate it at Christmas. God putting on flesh. Just as a quick aside, I think it's 68 days till Christmas. Someone told me it's 9 Fridays or something. I did bless them. Some, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, will go, aha, this is the bit here that proves that Jesus is just a created being. But Paul doesn't intend that here. That's not what Paul is saying. The firstborn over all creation. Jehovah's Witnesses and others would say that means that Jesus wasn't God. He was just a mere creature like the rest of us. He wasn't divine. He was the first among equals. But Paul is not saying that. His other words do not support that. In first century Palestine, firstborn had a specific meaning, being the main inheritor of the family's estate. I had to stay very closely in contact with my older brother just for this reason. Jesus is the inheritor of all of creation. That's a big inheritance if Jesus is not God, if he's just another creature of the Creator. And then Paul further expands our thinking. He firms his argument by saying that by Jesus, all things were created. That's not just a human claim, is it? That's divine. This is one staggering claim. And when he says all things, he does mean all things. Not most things, not the majority of things. He means all things. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. The microscopic, the cosmic, the physical and the spiritual, the biological and the geological. All things were created for him, as one commentator puts it. It is all his because he made it all. And Paul pushes our brains to think a little bit further and harder. This God-man who walked the dusty roads of first century Palestine, who performed miracles, delivered great teaching, existed before all of that began. And Paul exerts that in Jesus, all things hold together. It may seem impossible to grasp, but this is what Paul is claiming for the one that he worships, the one that we've been worshipping this morning. And then note what Paul does next. Verse 18. This one that I have been describing is not only all of that, he is the head of the church. He's the head of you, Church of Colossae. He's the head of you, Park Road Baptist Church. There was a purpose and there was a plan for the Creator God when he stepped down into this creation. And that was to provide a means by which the whole of creation could be restored back to himself. Restored back to its intended purpose. The second half of the passage outlines that what Jesus has achieved by stepping into his creation. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, we read, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Just think about that for a moment, because it sort of begins to blow the mind. Paul tells us that all the fullness of God, all the fullness of God's glory, all the fullness of God's wisdom, all the fullness of God's goodness, all the fullness of God's grace, all the fullness of God's power, all the fullness of God's purposes, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. I'm just mindful of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, where he prays for the church to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Imagine what the church would look like if that came to be. It was God's pleasure, God's delight for this to be. And to what end? That all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, might be reconciled, put right through him and to him. I love what one commentator writes. The great rupture in the unity and harmony of all things has been mended through Christ's sacrificial death, and in doing so, peace has been made by the blood of the cross. What was is now mended. Paul declares our status clearly as he bounds into verses 21 and 22. No holds barred here. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from all accusation. Paul seeks to encourage the church that he writes to. We too can take that same encouragement. We are invited to worship Jesus as Lord of all, above all things. We are encouraged to root our lives deeply into Christ. We are beckoned to embrace reconciliation and to know who we are in Christ, as daughters and sons of the living God. And we are instructed to live a life worthy of the calling, marked by holiness and hope. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of creation. He is Lord of the church. He is Lord of reconciliation. He's not just part of the story. He's the center of everything. Who is Jesus to you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By you, all things were made, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. You hold all things together, and in you all things find their purpose. We worship you, the head of the church, the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. In you the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through your cross you have made peace, reconciling all things to yourself. Would you help us live lives that reflect your glory? Root us in your truth. Shape us by your grace. And lead us to walk in the peace you have won. May we never lose sight of your supremacy. May our hearts always be drawn to your love. In your powerful and matchless name, we pray. Amen.